Well, my friends, believe it or not, it's 2017. I keep writing 2016 on checks and elsewhere, so please catch those mistakes. But it's time to step back, if you already haven't already done so, and just take a good, hard look at your life. I always like to spend some time looking back on 2016 and just thinking about the highlights and kind of what was life-giving and what was life-taking and what would I like to change this year. Last Sunday night, I was sitting down at the Sunday night dinner, and one of the people at our table asked us all what our theme was for the next coming year. And I haven't heard that before. And she said, sometimes when we're setting goals, that can feel kind of negative. But at her workplace, she had been asked to think about what her theme was for 2017. And I asked her what her theme was. And she thought about it for a few minutes. And she said, courage. I think this is also a good time to take an honest look at our spiritual lives. What sort of life is God inviting each of us and us together as a faith community into this next year? Soon we will swear in a new president, the person who will inhabit the White House. Donald Trump has thus far chosen to do things differently than in the past. So far, his free-for-all style, regular use of a Twitter account to shame or praise people and companies, and pronouncements about everything from immigration to global warming, to even his distrust of U.S. intelligence agencies, has made many of us more than a little nervous. We don't yet know if he'll do everything that he said he'll do, but we are understandably concerned. I'm always grateful that our inauguration of a new president comes not long after Martin Luther King Jr. Day, this day where we remember Dr. King's life and legacy. 8 years ago, the inauguration of Barack Obama, a week after MLK Day, seemed like a sign of national and especially racial and moral progress and hope. This year, MLK Day, which we observe on Monday, feels to me more aspirational, more like a critical reminder of what we could be as a nation, who we could be as a nation, and the better angels of our nature, as Lincoln put it. Today's scripture readings highlight the theme of witness, meaning how individuals and communities testify to God's love. Just as Jesus helped the men and the women of his day have a glimpse of God's life and love through his relationships with them, and a glimpse of God's vision for human flourishing, Jesus' followers across time have testified to God's love and ability to bring healing and reconciliation through their words and deeds. In his day, Dr. King, a Christian pastor, articulated and embodied a vision for life together in God called the Beloved Community. The Beloved Community was a community of people from every possible background, united in God for the common good. In this community, people would live lives of nonviolent resistance to confront and overcome the evils of their day: racism, segregation, and militarism. When King and his followers protested these realities through nonviolent resistance, they were not only standing up for justice, they were pointing to the God who loved all people and abhors violence. Even when they were spit upon, beaten, imprisoned, and killed. In the gospel we just heard a moment ago, John the Baptist points toward Jesus. When John sees Jesus coming toward him, he declares, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John also testifies to having seen the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus at Jesus' baptism. And that was clearly a powerful moment that was hard to put into words. John's witness or testimony is the reason that two of the men who were his disciples became Jesus' disciples. And Jesus then invited these men to, quote, "Come and see." In our reading from Isaiah, a community, Israel, is directed by God to be a witness to the world. Israel will serve as a light to the nations through whom all the people of the earth will learn of God's salvation. Israel will be the instrument through which the nations will know and worship God. Israel will be a light in the darkness. Witnessing to Jesus' light and love involves being, doing, and saying. But what enables us to be, do, and say over time, and especially when the going gets tough? In the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the word abide to talk about his relationship with God, as well as the way his disciples or students should relate to him. Jesus says that his disciples should abide in him just as he abides in God. Abiding means being rooted in or resting in God, the way branches are rooted in a tree or leaves exist on a branch. Abiding means knowing that our roots are planted in God's soil, that we live and move and have our being and our existence only in God. Abiding indicates intimacy with God. Just like Jesus, we dwell in God's presence in the here and now. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was able to witness to God's very different vision for human community than the one he lived in and stand up to the powers of his day because he was deeply rooted in God's life and love. He abided in God, and his intimacy with God gave him the courage and the sustenance he needed to abide in the face of hatred, constant threats to his life and his family's life, and violence. Dr. King understood that being a disciple of Jesus involves action, working to transform social evils. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, he wrote, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. If the church does not participate actively in the struggle for peace and for economic and racial justice, it will forfeit the loyalty of millions and cause men everywhere to say that it has atrophied its will. But if the church will free itself from the shackles of a deadening status quo and recovering its great historic mission will speak and act fearlessly and insistently in terms of justice and peace, it will enkindle the imagination of mankind and fire the souls of men, imbuing them with a glowing and ardent love for truth, justice, and peace. At the same time, King knew how critical it was for those desiring reform to maintain their spiritual center so as to free themselves from what he called the cold hard-heartedness and self-righteousness so often characteristic of nonconformity. Only through an inner spiritual transformation, he wrote, do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world in a humble and loving spirit. When we are light to the world, when we, in the words of today's collect or opening prayer, shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, when our words and our actions testify to God's light and grace, we too are witnesses. When we abide in Jesus, our words and actions come from a place of deep love and even joy. May the example of John the Baptist, as well as Dr. King, inspire and encourage us this day, giving us the courage and the strength we need to be faithful followers of the way of Jesus, testifying to Christ in word and deed in the days ahead. Amen.